The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
This is iRadio's Root Chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
It is ADHD Awareness Month, and joining me for a chat is content creator and advocate Molly Roberts. You'll probably know her on social media as Mollerina, and she's been open about her journey with ADHD as an adult, and I'm delighted to be chatting to her about her experience, bust some of the myths around ADHD as well, and also look at how it can shape someone's day-to-day life beyond the stereotypes that we're all taught about. So welcome to iRadio's group chat, Molly. Delighted to chat to you. When did you realise ADHD was a part of your life, first of all? And also, what led then to your diagnosis?
So I first kind of realised that maybe I should go seek a diagnosis when I was in my master's. I was sitting beside my friend Mary, and she was speaking about her ADHD, and I just related to her so much that I was like, this is kind of freaky. Like, this actually sounds like my life. So then I kind of did my own research into it, and I kind of realised myself that, you know, I probably have this. But I think without an official diagnosis, there can be a lot of like gaslighting yourself into thinking that you don't, and you can't really seek, like, you know, medications or proper accommodations from work if you don't have an official diagnosis. So that kind of pushed me then to go on and look to get a diagnosis. But I didn't get diagnosed till I was 26, and I did my master's, I think I was 21 or 22. So it was a few years there of like really kind of going through the different stages of like accepting that I had it and what that would mean for my life, and kind of grieving who I thought I was, because then at that point I was kind of like, oh my god, I've been living a lie, you know, I don't really know this huge part of myself. So yeah, it was my master's for me.
What were the signs that you were struggling with most, and the symptoms that were leading you in the direction of thinking, okay, maybe it is ADHD?
So that's really interesting, because they're different from what the typical, I suppose, symptoms you would think of. I think when people think of ADHD, they kind of think of like a little lad bouncing around the classroom and that kind of hyperactivity, when there's actually more, there's different types of ADHD. I have the combined type, and also it presents so differently in women. So for me, a lot of that hyperactivity was actually in my brain. It was actually a lot of anxiety and overthinking thoughts, and a lot of forgetfulness, misplacing things, not being able to be on time for a lot of things, and finding social situations like extremely difficult sometimes as well. And just kind of realizing that, oh my god, this has been underneath everything for like in every area of my life for my whole life, but kind of realizing that I've been pretending that it hasn't. Like, I've been doing my best to act normal and mask, which I think a lot of women with ADHD growing up tend to do automatically, whether they realize that or not. So kind of like, it was a lot of work to kind of take off that mask and realize, like, who actually am I when I'm not like trying so hard to be like a perfect like person or act the way that I think that I'm meant to be acting, you know? So I think there was a lot of different things, like even like down to disordered eating and like trouble in like relationships and friendships, and a lot of different things. But I just wasn't a very like hyper person. Like, I definitely have my moments, but I wasn't like 100% of the time always very hyper and disruptive. So I think sometimes you can kind of miss that in girls and women.
The label ADHD is getting thrown around an awful lot. It was when I was younger as well, and it was that stereotype of somebody like, you know, bursting around the classroom, not able to do any of their work. And I realized that in some cases can be how it presents, but in the last number of years, I have noticed more people talking about it. So it's great to have someone like yourself on even this evening to continue the education about it for people, because I'll be 100% honest, I wasn't that sure like of all of the ins and outs of what ADHD was. I had a fair idea myself. But because it wasn't something that we really learned about growing up, I mean, how would you know? And now that you are someone that has got the diagnosis, what tools and like habits have you developed that have helped the most in managing the ADHD?
So that's definitely still like an ongoing journey for me as well, but I've tried so many different things. I'm on medication at the moment. I have tried lots of different medications. I've been on a whole medication journey. I've tried therapy. The latest therapy I'm doing is occupational therapy. So that's a very practical based therapy, which I think so far has been like the most helpful for people with ADHD, because like I can talk about, I think talk therapy is really important, don't get me wrong, but I can talk about my feelings till I'm blue in the face, but I'm still not going to make that appointment on time. I'm still like going to misplace something, or I'm going to forget to do something, or I'm still going to have the racing thoughts all the time. So I think the practical occupational therapy is a really good thing to try if you have ADHD. For me, habit stacking, and there's a few different like pillars that really help people with ADHD that my doctor told me about. So one of them is exercise, because if you have like hyperactivity externally or internally in your brain, just transmuting that into just doing exercise and being active helps so much. Just going for an anxious walk sometimes for me helps like loads. Having enough protein, that's kind of a scientific one, I can't explain the ins and outs of, but having enough protein in your diet really helps your neurotransmitters and like the dopamine of it all, which is, you know, ADHD people have like a kind of a dysregulation of dopamine. Yeah, I think they're the main ones.
I'm interested to hear about the anxiety walk. I feel like that's, is that kind of the TikTok trend of the hot girl walk? girl walk that you see people talking about.
A hot girl walk, but now make it neurodivergent. But yeah, basically, I think like in the first like hour of the morning for me, like getting up, getting outside, going for a walk, or else I'm going to be stuck in bed. I'm going to make 55 to-do lists and recreate, like redo them all the time because none of them are perfect. I'm going to be overthinking, okay, I need to do this, then I need to do this, then I need to do this, and I'll get overwhelmed. Whereas if I just go outside, go for a walk, that's already getting like the good like hormones going. I already feel accomplished. And that kind of gives me a little spike in confidence to go then forth and like do the rest of the things I need to do in the day. Because one of like the big kind of knock-on symptoms of having ADHD is a huge lack of like self-confidence, because we're always kind of told by like teachers or professionals or whoever, you're just not doing enough, you just need to try harder, when there's that kind of lack of understanding there that we're actually trying so hard. So for you, like consistently not being able to do the things that you want to do and not knowing how to get yourself to do those things, it can cause a huge like dip in your self-confidence. Whereas kind of doing nearly the opposite of a to-do list and writing down things at the end of the day that you've accomplished, or writing them down as you're doing them throughout the day, has helped me a lot as well, just in terms of like, oh my God, look, I actually am doing things. And that gives me a little bit of dopamine to go and be able to do more things. So exercising is one of those things for me. And while I'm out like in my morning walk, or if I'm had a really anxious day and I go out in the evening before I go to sleep, that just like helps my brain so much.
It's all about them life hacks, isn't it? Like, yeah. And I know it's different for everyone, like people that are dealing with mental health conditions, or, you know, and ADHD as well. Like it can be, it's just, it's really important to form your own routine around it. It's really, I'm so like, I admire you so much that you've got that so much down to a T, because I feel like I make promises to myself all of the time. And, you know, like knowing what works for you is so powerful in all of this. But what do you think is the biggest misconception of ADHD that even you had personally before you got diagnosed with ADHD that just isn't true?
Oh, that's a really hard one. I think well, one that I heard of, or one that maybe I even thought before I kind of looked into it so much, is that you can grow out of ADHD. You can't grow out of ADHD. It is a specific, like, it's a it's a neurotype of your brain. You can't outgrow it. You can just learn to cope with it better. So I think it was the thought like a long time ago, even a few years ago, that, you know, it's mostly just children that get ADHD. And then as you grow up, you kind of grow out of it. That's actually not the case. And for a lot of women, ADHD can get increased, the symptoms of your ADHD can get increasingly worse when you're pregnant or when you go through menopause, because it's such a hormonal change. And even just like month on month for women going through your menstrual cycle, your symptoms can increase a lot as well. So I think that's kind of one of the symptoms that you don't grow out for it. You don't grow out of it, sorry. And then also, I suppose, just how differently it can affect women as well.
And as well as that, it from what you're saying, how different the symptoms really can be for people as well. They're not necessarily the stereotyped, for sure. How long did the diagnosis process take for you, if you don't mind me asking? I imagine, you know, given, you know, things that we've heard about the healthcare system so far, were you a while waiting for an appointment or things like that?
So funnily enough, when I first went to my doctor and was kind of saying, look, like I am so like before I like got my diagnosis, I had so much anxiety. It was like I couldn't leave the house and go for a walk. I had like really, really bad anxiety. It had just built up to that point. And when I went to my doctor to ask about getting an ADHD diagnosis, my GP, they told me, I'm not even going to put you down. You will not get seen. Like the queues are so long. And they prescribed me anxiety medication. So then I had to take it upon myself and save myself and then go privately. Privately is a lot quicker, but because there's more awareness now on ADHD and more people are realizing, wait, actually, maybe I do have ADHD. Maybe, like, you know, I'm not just this way or that way. Maybe this is actually like a condition that I have and are seeking diagnosis. The waiting lists are longer. For me, 2 years ago, it probably was the guts of like 3-4 months, I'm going to say, by the time I went in for my initial appointment till the time I got my diagnosis. I do think for me, it was very clear cut. I knew exactly what I needed to bring into those appointments. I knew I needed to bring in all my school transcripts. I needed to, you know, have exam. Like, I am the type of girl, like, I went in with my iPad and like bullet points. So I knew, because I didn't want to forget anything that might be important, you know. So, but that can be different for different people. Like different people, they might need a few more sessions to kind of figure out like how much this actually impacts and impairs their life. For me, I feel like it was quite clear.
What would you love to see change in society now on how we talk about ADHD? As we said, it is ADHD Awareness Month, which I think is a great start to raise awareness about it. But is there anything else you'd love to see change in society along the way?
And I do have something, and I don't know if I even have a proper answer for this, but I think it's more so the fact that when you have ADHD or you have autism maybe, or just you're neurodivergent at all, you're always like changing yourself to act more neurotypical and to fit in a neurotypical world. Whereas I think a lot of the neurodivergent community would appreciate if neurotypical people took it upon themselves to kind of educate themselves and understand the accommodations that might need to be put in place and not put the same standards that they hold themselves to neurodivergent people, because it's just unfair to us when our brains just don't work that way, but we're forcing them so hard to try and work a different way when they never fully will, you know? So I think just more compassion, more understanding and more thoughtful accommodations, and to be welcome to like accommodations that might need to be given to neurodivergent people.
Well, I do hope that ADHD Awareness Month is a good start on this journey to achieve all of that, for your own personal sake, but also for everybody that's experiencing that is neurodivergent. Because you're right, we have been very driven as kind of sticking with neurotypical as the basis for everything, and it's so not the case for so many people. Neurodivergence is something that we're learning more and more about every day. So if people are listening this evening to you and to your story and want to find you maybe on social media to follow along with what you get up to, where can they find you?
So you can find me on Instagram and TikTok, and my handle is @Mollerina_.
Perfect. Well, Molly, thank you so much for all of that. And I do hope that you enjoy the rest of ADHD Awareness Month. I'm sure you'll be sharing a lot of information about it, and I look forward to learning more. And I'm sure we'll catch up to you again soon.
This is iRadio's Group Chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it.
iRadio.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.